First of all, I was surprised when the Guardians DFA'd Pedro Avila. So I'm glad he made it through waivers. I'm surprised he did. I'll bet he's on the team next year.
Well, maybe they knew he'd make
pretty,
it through.
Well, he pitched pretty well last year, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe they would know that he would make it through waivers. I wonder, or maybe they just...
I don't know.
Is there a way
somehow
to go?
He's back, so good for him. I'm glad for the organization, because I think that guy's pretty good.
Maybe they put Pedro Avila on and nobody noticed, right? They said his name wrong. And
Bobby Avila?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Yeah, something like that.
Pedro Avila.
But, I mean, maybe you could kind of hide it.
Kind of hide that,
that's how they
that,
got
huh?
him through. I don't know.
Kind of hide that.
You never know.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps.
You could draft the wrong Jordan Cameron, right?
Well, you could.
That happens sometimes. Yeah, or Jordan.
I guess that's the case, isn't it?
Or make the wrong phone call.
I guess that's the case. Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, is going to join us at 11. We're going to talk to Daryl Ryder coming up at noon. And then at 1:20, we're going to talk to the first-place coach in the Mid-American Conference when it comes to men's basketball, John Gross from the University of Akron. He's going to join us. Zips are undefeated. So John's going to join us at 1:20. Anxious to talk to him. Cavaliers yesterday won without Darius Garland, Andy.
Yes, they did.
They're 2-0 without Darius Garland.
That is not a thing, Jeff.
They're 2-0 without Donovan Mitchell.
That's not a thing.
They're 4-2 without Evan Mobley. No, it's not a thing. Last year it was
38-9 without J.B. Bickerstaff.
Last year it was pretty funny. Last year it was a thing. They won a lot without Darius and made you wonder. This year, their system, their way they're playing has been able to compensate for some minor absences of players.
Sure.
And they've been really fortunate this year injury-wise. Hold on one second. Wait a minute. They've been really fortunate injury-wise. You haven't had injuries with this team, and when you have had a guy miss, everybody else has stepped up and they've played really good basketball. But I think last night was an important situation for them.
Oh, are we going to do this forever now?
Because you went to Miami where, you know, historically you had a tough time playing and you ended a losing streak. You did a nice job. You came up and you played good basketball. You won the game. Now you come back home. You put things back on the correct path and you see where you go.
You're back to the best record in the NBA, right? That's where you are, because Oklahoma's 37-9, 804 winning percentage, and Cavaliers have an extra game on them, 38-9 at 809. So
are you watching that? Does that mean anything to you?
No. Well, the only thing I look at when I start looking at the standings is the distance between the Cavs and the Celtics. But at the end of the day, you're just kind of looking at the four teams that are going to be in the play-in tournament, because that's probably who you're going to land in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, it doesn't really kick in until after the All-Star game. It's not even the All-Star break, because you're what? You're 47 games into the season right now. So, I mean, what it doesn't mean, and you know as well as I do, that once you hit that All-Star break, you hit that trade deadline, you hit the All-Star break, and then boom, it's like putting it in fifth gear as you get ready for the end of the season, because things start in the position for jockeying for position in the playoffs, all kind of seems to
jockeying
that comes back into play. It is interesting, though, if you look down in the standings, how close everybody is, like from 6 to 10, right? Like 14.5 back for Orlando, all the way down to 18.5 back for the Bulls, and the Bulls are battling with the Sixers for that last spot. That scares me. Like if the Sixers,
well, I've been
get
telling
healthy
you about the Sixers
get,
all year. They're the team I'm keeping an eye on. But it's,
and they're on the fringe right now.
It's good for the Cavs to have bounced back from that three-game losing streak and win a couple. You know, you beat JB and you beat the Hawks. And unfortunately, unless something drastic happens, and you tell me, is this the wrong way to look at it? Unless something really drastic happens here, and that would be injury or trade, this is, it's almost in a holding pattern until you get to the playoffs.
100%. I don't totally agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think they have anything to prove, anything to accomplish,
I think, other than
stay healthy for the playoffs.
I will say tonight, I think you do want to prove something against Atlanta. I think you do. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that, because Atlanta's had your number twice this season. So I think you've got to say to yourself,
back-to-back games, so, you know, at the time that it happened,
whatever that's worth. And, you know, Darius sat last night to get healthy for tonight's game, to make sure he's rested.
And yeah, I was going to say, I think he's perfectly healthy. Just getting rested.
So I think if I'm the Cavs, I want tonight's game. This is a statement game for you, because this team's been under your thumb a little bit this season. You've had success against everybody else. So why wouldn't you be able to have success against Atlanta? And if you end up playing them in the playoffs, you want that to be in the back of their mind that, you know, you may have beat us in the beginning of the season, but we were due for a loss at that point.
And they're in a position where they could end up being a first-round opponent.
Oh, for sure.
For the Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Hawks PR department, by the way, littered with former Cavalier PR people.
Oh, I know that, like most people, when they do previews of the game, that's all they want to talk about are all the former Cavaliers PR people that are now working in Atlanta. Because, you know, that's a difference maker, especially when you're down too late in the game. You're like, oh, who's going to be walking that guy over to the interview room? That's important. It's totally important. Is he going to bring him a bottle of water before they go do the interview? And then do we have to remind him about anything else that might be going on in the world before they do the interview? That's why the Hawks PR staff, I'm worried about them. And I'm worried about them in the playoffs, too.
Let me question you on this one, Mr. Baskin.
Yeah.
Has Adam Silver been spending way too much time talking to Rob Manfred?
Oh, yeah. I think he has.
Let's take a real good game and let's mess with it. Let's take a real good game and let's mess with it. Apparently, the commish is thinking about a major change to NBA basketball games. And I want to discuss it. I'm not a fan myself. Here's what Adam Silver had to say. He was on the Dan Patrick show. And Dan was talking to him about, you know, maybe changes you'd like to see in the game. And the commissioner of the National Basketball Association, Adam Silver, came up with this.
The NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. Not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a 2-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about over time. Incidentally, if you went to a 40-minute game with the issues around load management and resting, it would be the equivalent of, I don't know the exact math, taking like 15 games off the season. And I don't think most fans would be disappointed if it was a 2-hour presentation.
Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. What would you think about this, Mr. Baskin?
Okay.
And there are a lot of different, you know, this is a lot bigger than just saying let's shorten the game from 12-minute quarters to 10-minute quarters and shave 8 minutes off a game. Number one, it would ruin a book title by Terry Pluto, 48 minutes. But along with that.
excuse me.
All right, while you cough.
No, I'm just thinking about it because I just think there are a number of things they can do to shorten the game without having to touch the game at all, right?
Maybe.
Well, the biggest is timeouts. Like, take away some of the timeouts.
Okay, wait a minute. So, in other words, you're taking away some television commercials.
But now you're fitting that thing into a 2-hour package. Isn't that what he's worried about?
Which is less time to sell.
Well, maybe you sell your product a different way other than commercials. Maybe you start... I don't even know if I've even noticed it. I don't know. They don't do that. Why aren't they doing, like... commercials during the game when the ball's in the backcourt, 10-second spot, throw it up in the corner. I think it would make it look ridiculous. There's got to be other places to put. I mean, if you look at the way they're doing advertising now on the floor, right? That's the beginning.
And those change during the game.
And so that's one other way. You just have to figure out a different way to monetize your advertising that you don't have them in traditional commercial spots.
All right. First of all, it could possibly, if you're shortening the game, you're cutting down on opportunities for time for commercial time. Okay, mm-hmm. Do you need to worry about a 2-hour television package, or do you worry about the integrity of the history of the game and the records and everything else?
I think you worry about it. When it comes to speeding up a game that way, I think you have to think about the integrity of the game. You have to. You know, and you know, we've got this thought process of before there was a 3-point line and after a 3-point line, right? I mean, that significantly changed the way we look at some records and you kind of look at folks that did stuff like Bingo Smith. We always talk about him, right? We're like, man, I wonder how many points Bingo would have had if they had a three-point line when he was playing. And so we've got that era of basketball, and then we've got the post three-point arc. And so I think that the way we look at it that way, I just think if you're starting to shave actual game minutes down, that doesn't sound right to me. Nothing sounds balanced.
Now, one of the other angles to this, and let me give you some, and folks, I'd love your thoughts. 40-minute game, 216-474-0092. I don't care for it myself. I get it. You know, I watch a lot of college basketball up close and personal. Games fly. 10-minute quarters fly in women's basketball. In men's basketball, they still do 20-minute halves, which is like the only game on the planet that does that.
Still 10-minute quarters if you think about it, right?
Well, it is, except you don't have a quarter break.
Right, so it's one more timeout.
They do two halves. Yeah.
Right.
Tom Thibodeau of the Knicks and Michael Malone of the Nuggets made some comments to ESPN. Tibbs said, I'm more of a traditional guy, so I'd hate to see that. And he cited shortening the game would hinder the ability to break league-wide records. Malone, who is one of my favorite guys in the league, I've known Michael a long time, and he's a really good guy and really smart, and he speaks his mind. He said, I give the league credit because they're always trying to find ways to keep the fans engaged. But I hope we don't go to 10-minute quarters. I hope we don't put in a four-point line. I hope we don't become Barnum and Bailey or do whatever we have to do to keep viewership, because there's a greatness and a history to this game and a purity to this game that I hope we can find a way to stay true to. I would agree with Michael on those thoughts. We also know how things evolve and grow. One aspect of this that I'm sure Adam Silver is in the back of his mind as he's a fan of 10-minute quarters is this. If you're only playing 40 minutes, that means your stars are playing a greater percentage of every game. Huh. Because you wouldn't suddenly cut them all back to 25 minutes a game, would you? You know, as he said,
why wouldn't you if you were trying to rest them?
Well, but how much are you going to rest them? I mean, if you're going to put a two-hour product out there, don't you want a boom, jam-packed action two-hour television product? I mean, if you're going to do that, you're going to play your stars similar minutes, aren't you? So in other words, let's just say your starters play their usual minutes, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
That cuts a lot of playing time out for guys coming off the bench, which means you don't probably need 15-man rosters, also means you probably don't need two guys in G League two-way contracts. That's 17 guys under contract. Ooh, teams are saving money on player contracts. Oh, wait a minute. And if the guys on the bench aren't playing as many minutes, then they're not as valuable to you, are they? Which means you don't have to pay them as much.
Well, the other
doesn't
thing,
it?
Yeah,
doesn't that mean that?
And while we're doing all that, why don't we increase the offense? We could double our offensive output if we put a second hoop above the original hoop, and that way the ball could
fall through two hoops. Michael Malone, Barnum, and Bailey here.
It's exactly
folks. What do you think? Adam Silver says he's a fan of 10-minute quarters. I understand the need to evolve things. I mean, look what Rob Manfred has done in baseball. Some of it's worked. Some of it we don't like. Some of it has made no impact at all. Some of it's helped the game. Would 10-minute quarters help the NBA game? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. Super Bowl 59, folks. One game, two teams, endless possibilities. And there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with the FanDuel Sportsbook. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown, or who will take home the MVP trophy, or the coin toss, or yardage figures, or passing totals, whatever, FanDuel makes it real easy to place your bets and then feel the thrill of every moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into the action, you can adjust your bets, and you can ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter here, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Jeff P. FanDuel.com/Jeff P. That's J-E-F-F-P. And bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. Coming up, 11 o'clock, Nick Kostos, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. What's the hottest prop bet going right now? I wonder if Nick will have that information, because I'm going to ask him.
Gatorade color, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's always an easy one.
I don't guess I don't need to ask Nick as long as I have Andy Baskin.
Hey, and I've got Google in front of me, so we're good. We can do 4 hours
fabulous.
On that. Yeah.
Adam Silver floated this idea when talking to Dan Patrick. I'm a fan of 10-minute quarters. That would mean an NBA game would become 40 minutes. And as he said, well, it's like everybody else. Okay, well, everybody else isn't making $40 million a year to play basketball.
Do season ticket holders get 2/3 off?
Do you get a discount?
Yeah, will they give you a discount?
Do you have to pay more because they're going to have fewer commercials in a telecast?
Oh, there's always a way to figure out more commercials. I mean,
well, would ticket prices be more because maybe there are fewer commercials? I mean, if you're trying to make it a tighter TV package. Do players take pay cuts because they're playing less? Do guys at the end of the bench, are there fewer guys at the end of the bench? Are the guys at the end of the bench making less money because they don't have to play as much?
Why don't we put fans at the end of the bench so they can charge them more for the seats? You're making money on the seat rather than paying for someone to be in that seat, right?
College basketball, oftentimes you see 7-man rotations, 8-man rotations.
Sure.
As opposed to John Gross is going to join us at 120 from the University of Akron, who plays 10.
Why don't we just play 4-on-4, make the court smaller?
Well, this is an interesting thing to me. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. Jim in Strongsville gets us rolling.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, boys. Listen, first off, we got to realize that this is in response to their sagging TV numbers. I mean, and without TV numbers and TV revenue going up and up and up, it's going to impact players. It's going to impact everything.
Although, Jim, the only thing I'll say about that, and I understand that, obviously, and I agree with that, Adam Silver has said their streaming numbers are through the roof and people are finding their product in other ways. So I thought that was an interesting combination.
Interesting for him to say that, especially when Nielsen can't publicly post those numbers. So I find that interesting. But anyways, listen, here's the thing. Like at first I thought it was crazy, 10-minute quarters. But the biggest complaint with the NBA right now is people drop in and they drop out. Like the big argument I've heard is always, well, nothing matters but the last 5 minutes. Listen, with fewer minutes, you make every possession and every minute more important. And I think that's one thing. But the problem Adam Silver has right now is he's not willing to make any changes that are going to ruffle feathers with players, especially the star players.
Right.
You want changes that would make a difference? Let the hand check come back. You want changes that make a difference? Enforce the rules. Enforce traveling. That would make the game
enforce palming.
Cleaner.
Palming the ball. Remember that rule, Jim?
Let them play defense. Like I'm not saying I want guys out there beating each other up like they did in the 80s and early 90s, but you know what? You have to let these guys defend these star players. Otherwise, we're getting more and more towards like an all-star game every game, and nobody really wants to see that. That's not compelling basketball.
I would agree with that. Jim, thank you very much. The game would be much more competitive, you would think, Andy, in 40 minutes, would it not?
Do you really I don't foresee players playing at a different level than they would now. You think it'd be more intense if they were only playing 40 minutes? Like it's not.
Well,
I mean, I'm the one that's been saying to you
time.
For years.
Yeah, you say tune in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I see them giving guys days off again. Like I just don't see it. And are the players going to take a pay cut on this?
Well,
I don't see that either.
That,
yeah,
I wonder that. From the long time no hear department, the Hyes is with us. Where the heck have you been?
Hyes!
I'm a retired businessman living on a pension in Miami Beach, Florida.
Living on a pension.
Look at you.
Yeah, right.
So let me guess. So you turned 65 and you woke up in Florida. Is that what happened?
Nice.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
That's how it works. Isn't it?
Congratulations.
I'm 69 in May, yeah.
Congratulations.
And it's a beautiful day here.
That's a stunner.
Well, I liked all of Jim's comments previously.
Very good.
Except there's one thing he missed. What is it really all about? What is it always all about?
Money.
Correct. And what kind of money?
You tell us in this day and age. I'll let you drop the magic word.
Gambling dollars.
Oh, true.
It's all about gambling. I mean, gambling's going to ruin sports. We know that.
Wait, but gambling's been around since
it's legalized.
Isn't gambling the second oldest profession?
When they are giving you $2,000 to bet $2,000, there's an issue. They are addicting the young. Our kinder, there's no chance because they have disposable income. And what do they do with it?
They do. They must not be buying eggs. I can tell you that.
Drugs, alcohol, and gambling.
Must not be buying eggs.
No, they're not buying eggs.
Hey, great to hear from you, Heis.
Love you guys. Okay?
Don't be a stranger. Right. Okay?
Don't be a stranger. Yes.
I promise.
All right.
Adios.
There's the Heis in Miami Beach, Florida. Adam Silver says he's a fan of 10-minute quarters. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. He's a fan of Cuyahoga
Gentlemen,
Falls.
How we doing today?
Hey, Kev.
All right, listen, I'm going to put myself in old guy land.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
I know. I can't help it. You know, the gray hair evidences it. I was not a big fan of the changes in baseball, and I'm certainly not a supporter of these changes being suggested for the NBA games either. And I think what's wrong with it, here's what I understand. What's wrong with just enjoying yourself, right? What's wrong with being in the moment? What's wrong with going to a sporting event and just enjoying everything that comes around it? And I will expand on that gambling thought. I really blame the millennials on how ubiquitous gambling has become throughout the nation. And from this perspective, I think the influence of this has gone the wrong way. You know, with this video game gambling generation, and with all that goes on, it's betting, and it drives these thoughts of how to shorten games. Because what happens? Once those in-game bets are gone, these guys tune out. They have no interest anymore in the game because they weren't in it to watch the sporting event. They weren't in as a sports fan. They were in to catch their bets and win the things. That's what kept their interest in it, right? So the problem is not to shorten the game. I mean, that's not an answer to it at all, right? I mean, why would we shorten a game? Because to me, that means you're getting suggestions from people who aren't sports fans, right? They're not there to go enjoy the game. They're not there to watch the guys play the game and all that comes with it, right? I mean, when I take my boy to the game, we're there ahead of time. We're enjoying all of it, including baseball, right? I mean, so I think there's just a huge divide between those of us that are sporting fans that want the event. We want to see the players. We want to see everything that goes on. And those that are just tuning in just to make their bets come true and win some money. So to me, I'm not a fan of this whole shorten everything down because we're pandering to a community that really aren't sports fans anyway, in my opinion.
Kevin, I think that's really interesting because that's a direction I wanted to go with this as well. Have you ever heard of a basketball fan complain that an NBA game is too long?
Never. I don't think I've ever heard that.
I haven't either. And
have you?
Neither one of you have whined at any point in the last 5 minutes of a basketball game as you know you're about to watch 45 minutes worth of commercials.
The style, the way a game can go at the end, no, I don't. That doesn't faze me. See, here's the thing. I grew up loving sports, and I couldn't get enough. And the idea of shortening a Major League Baseball game, you know, the seven-inning doubleheaders, I thought, oh, I'm the guy, and this is true, I never leave an NBA game early, ever. And the reason why is I might see something I've never seen before, or I might see something that's really good. I do not complain about that. I it's just, to me, I love the sport. I don't need it to be 2 hours in a television package.
At no point during a replay challenge have you found yourself going, oh, God, just get it done.
I don't do that in sports.
I got to be honest. I don't.
I just
I'm going to put this real honest to both of you.
No.
Fooey.
No, Dano?
Fooey.
Have you ever watched a game with me?
No.
You've never watched a game with Andy. I've never watched one with you.
You've never watched one with me.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'll make that happen at some point.
I don't. Oh, not really. I don't care. You gonna make wings? Well, I watch the game. Now, do I think sometimes baseball games get a little long? Yeah, and I think Manfred tightens some things up, which aren't bad. But I don't like some of the gimmicky stuff.
I really think Rob just said get rid of the dilly dallying.
Right, I think that was a lot of it, and which is fine. I've never considered an NBA game dilly-dallying. The only thing I don't care for, but it's never made me not watch or anything, and I don't complain about it, is what you've talked about, Dan, at the end of the game. And I think it's more prevalent in the college game.
Yes, college games take forever to end.
I was doing an Akron women's basketball game the other day, and the final minute and a half in a game that wasn't really being contested took an extended period of time because coaches were calling timeouts and referees were reviewing things and everything else. But guess what? Sitting there watching a basketball game. it didn't faze me. I that was fine. That's the way it goes. Now, that aspect of it, I agree. That gets to be a little much. But it's never made me think, oh, my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, I don't feel that same way about the NBA either. I don't normally sit there and go, oh, this is taking forever. You know, sometimes you'll look at it and go, man, the clock's going slow when you have a big lead. And you're like, I want this thing to end. Especially for the Cavaliers this year, the way games have gone. You know, I like watching them. I like the way they're moving the basketball. So I don't find myself
thinking
bored
this is
that
drudgery.
Often.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of on Team Jeff on this one.
Fooey.
Roman,
you can say
in,
that all you want.
Roman's in Canton. Roman.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Yo.
As a millennial, I'm sick and tired of being blamed for everything. I'm
we
sorry,
didn't blame you, just
caller,
so you know that.
I know. But
just do what the rest of us do. Just blame the blame Generation us. Alphas or blame the kids. That's what we've started doing.
Like, we're such a lazy generation, but we make up a majority of the workforce now. And
blame the Zoomers. That's what I do.
Yeah, but you're all working from home. You're cutting into those city revenues.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's our fault, right? Because we set those rules. Yeah, we're the ones in charge to set those rules. No, I think
work-life balance. Tell me about it, Roman.
Exactly. You know, I think it's a thing where Silver's just trying to figure out how to get some viewership back into the game. And if he saw the success with the MLB and how they were able to shorten their 3-hour games to 2.5 or whatever it may be, he's throwing stuff at the wall to see if it sticks. I hear where he's coming from about it being, you know, at the Olympic level and the world stage, they are played at 10 minutes. And let's be honest, guys, the games are getting to the point where it's 154 to 138 and nobody's playing defense. Everybody's just hacking up shots. So what are you really going to miss? So I can understand both ways, but I don't think this is anyone to blame or if it's a gambling thing. I think it's just Silver trying to get viewers back interested in the NBA because the ratings have been miserable.
Roman, thank you very much. We've heard about the gambling in the shortened games. I didn't tie those two things together. I wonder if Nick Costos will, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. We'll ask him about a shortened NBA game. Next on Baskin and Phelps.